Reading from the Jiva Dharma, what's that? Chapter 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Now kindly instruct me about Jiva Tattva. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Nmavitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Gadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. So greetings from Govardhan. This is Erich Srila Prabhupada's Tirobhav Kirti Mahotsava, his disappearance day. As always, good to celebrate at Govardhan Hill. I was telling yesterday to some devotees that came that Prabhupada disappeared in Vrindavan, but there's also a significance in celebrating his disappearance day here in Govardhan, because at the end of his life, he expressed the desire, let me go to Govardhan, I want to go to Govardhan. And there's some significance to people's wishes or revelations at the end of their life, because it's a psychological phenomena that when you're leaving the body, you have less to hide. So sometimes truths may come out that otherwise are not revealed. So it really was Prabhupada's heart, because he was, from a physical standpoint, dying. Let me go to Vrindavan. He wanted to go by bullock cart. Let me go to Govardhan. So there's a sense that if that is Prabhupada's desire and what your bhava is at the end of life, to that destination you'll go, according to Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi svanam bhavam tachantyam te kalevam tam tam evaiti kante asata. To whatever nature, whatever the bhava, so that's not bhava, whatever one's feelings are at the time of death, then to that nature one goes. So Prabhupada expressed some desire for Govardhan. So it's really special to celebrate it here out in Govardhan. And I'll just say a few things about Prabhupada now. Maybe as a practice for my talk, I don't know if I'll say the same thing. But I had a realization. I just came back from a walk along Govardhan. I've been going a half every day, and it is a pleasant half. It's just a nice two-hour walk. That's all by the side of God, chanting the holy name, touching the dust of Vrindavan, seeing the smiles of sadhus. But anyway, today I just walked to Anior and back just to make sure that I had the proper exercise. And a kind of realization, I was thinking of talking about one thing and an idea came to me. I was in Vrindavan and I was taking lunch with a person who was very substantial in the world of Eastern spirituality in America. Really substantial person. And he helped bring Amma to America. And, you know, she stayed in his house. But he's been coming to the kirtans of Madhava and going on Prakram and introducing the Swami and visiting Satchinandana Swami at Govardhan and going out to the forest of Vrindavan with me to eat Brijvasi dhotis and, you know, kind of been associating with, you know, some of Prabhupada's followers. So, you know, he asked the question, was Prabhupada an enlightened soul? I thought that's nice that he's even considering it. Because if there's anything Prabhupada's not, he's not the hugging guru. He's Senapati Prabhupada. He's the general, meeting the forces against Maya, calling people nonsense and rascals. And so, it is Prabhupada, an enlightened soul, you know. So, anyway, I discussed some things with him and had some realizations, but it brought me to another question of, you know, what really is this system of Prabhupada? I think I will speak about this. This seems like a good topic for the function. What was the symptom, the quality of Prabhupada that made Prabhupada Prabhupada, you know, more than anything else? Made Prabhupada stand out in such an incredible way. I think it's Prabhupada's faith. It's his faith. That's Prabhupada's quality. Faith in Krishna and faith in the vehicle by which you can experience Krishna. Because without faith in the vehicle by which you can experience Krishna, you can't experience Krishna. As Guru Parampara. So he had faith, trust. And what I would like to say is, you know, to give a definition here, I'll give Prabhupada's own definition of faith. And I use this very, very often, especially when I'm preaching outside. Because people have a misconception of faith. It's like, you know, faith means I believe in fairy tales, or, you know, faith means I believe in something that's substantial. And Prabhupada gave the perfect definition of faith. He said to trust in something sublime. It's where you have your experience of bliss, of happiness, of sublimity. That's your faith. We have many faiths, and it's not just Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada had one faith. One faith. And that faith was serving Krishna. So it's a trust in something sublime, and it's based on your experience of that sublimity. To the degree that you have an experience of that sublimity, it's to the degree you're advanced in Krishna consciousness. If you're at Nishtha, your degree of faith is so strong that you want to do it all the time. If it's a sadhu sangha, your faith is so strong you want to hang out with devotees. So maybe not. And what a speak of an artanavritti. Your faith is so strong you want to give up what has no value to the objective. Prabhupada's faith was at the level of prema. He was experiencing God directly. And he was experiencing that through the adherence to the instructions and of his guru. So he had implicit faith in his guru. Yasya deve parabhakti tata deve tata guru. One who has implicit faith, trust. And when that trust is there, then there's nothing that can stop you. Because when you have trust in service to Krishna, the trust is so strong that there is no greater pain than giving it up. So nothing can make you give it up. A little difficulty, a little austerity, a little humiliation, a little, you know, all the things that we experience. It just goes strong. Chalatuta, heart attacks, you know, New York, faith, trust, goes on. Nothing can stop him. And therefore, faith in Krishna and Krishna's empowerment. Prabhupada sitting on the park bench, you know, some New York guy comes up to him and asks, you know, you have any place here? He says, oh, I have many temples, I have many books, I have many followers. Time is just separating. He had a vision based on the order of the spiritual master. He had faith in Bhakti Siddhanta. It's like Prabhupada. He saw that temple. It's done. It's going to happen. He had that faith, that trust. Priti-viti achiyati nagarari gram. My name will spread in every town and village. He had that faith. He had that trust. To undergo any sacrifice, any difficulty. And because he had that faith, he could communicate that faith. Bhakti Lata Beach. What is Bhakti Lata Beach? It's faith. It's trust. And I'm amazed when I see all my God brothers. How the hell did we last for like 40 years? I mean, you know, considering our desires, our aspirations, our standards of culture, and how did we last? And then you look around and you see how many people have faith of all sorts. You see some of these older disciples, you know. And one thing they have is that they have some trust because they had an experience by following Prabhupada. And it lasts. Among all the other samskaras, it lasts. And it really becomes a desire to give one's life in service. Because that's the trust. That's the faith, that this is the highest thing, is to serve Krishna. I remember one time when I was in Vrindavan, you know, yeah, maybe I was 40 or something. You know, if I was in the material world, I'm sure by that time I would have been a successful lawyer or a professor or, you know, own my own business or, you know, something, according to my family. Here I am, I'm in a bathroom shared with like 50 people, brushing my teeth next to Borijan, freezing cold in the winter. No heat, no hot water, brushing my teeth. And I joked to him, quoting Laurel and Hardy, but if you... Sometimes I see right now that my level of comedians doesn't reach the 80% of the people. If I say Jack Benny, they'll say, who's Jack Benny? As I said, in the same way, this is another nice mess you got me into. And you're just thinking, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? But because I got the Bhakti Mata Beach. I had trust in that sublimity, even if there were so many sacrifices, so many to his Prabhupada, an enlightened soul. Yeah, what's the proof? The proof is he got so many people to dedicate themselves to Krishna. And that'll be the test. That'll be the test. That is the test. That kind of ability to give what you have to others. Of course you have it. Of course you have it. And it's amazing how it goes on. Whatever management, whatever this, whatever that, whatever, the Krishna consciousness keeps on spreading. More and more people are coming. What to speak of the pure holy name that Prabhupada gave. People in the simple succession from him have faith in the holy name. What does faith in the holy name mean? They can share it. Not to become popular, not to become famous, not to attract people to you. You share it to please Krishna. And that's an extraordinary thing, because you don't really see that pure name so readily either. Anyway, those are just some of my thoughts, and now we'll go a little bit to the Jiva Dharma. But it's going to be a glorious day here in Vrindavan. Jaidwaita Swami's here in Govardhan. Vajan Prabhu's here in Govardhan. Keshav Bharti Maharaj is here in Govardhan. Shesha Prabhu is in Govardhan. Bhagavan Arjuna Prabhu just came yesterday. That's over here. And then Radhanath Swami's down the street. And then down the street from him is Satchinandana Swami and Dear Krishna Maharaj and Bhakti Vigango Swami. So, anyway, now we're going to discuss, and it's a very interesting point, this Lahari Mahasais. It's being enlightened by Babaji Maharaj. And he wants to understand something. He's so impressed with the realizations of Vaishnav Das. He's so impressed. And that's what happens in connection with Guru. You're impressed because they speak to your heart. They speak to your frame of reference. They speak to your understanding. And they increase your level of vision. And they give you light. They give you knowledge. You can see things clearly. Your life improves. And those instructions touch your heart so deeply. So he's getting further instructions, and he's having his doubts cleared. And he... A basic misconception of Krishna consciousness is clear to him, which is to think that bhakti is a sentimental process and knowledge is not required. But Babaji Maharaj explains, and it's a very subtle thing, Babaji Maharaj explains that if you don't have the proper knowledge, then how can you have devotion? Because devotion is based on the proper understanding and conception. If you think that God is material, how can you have bhakti? If you think you're God, how can you have bhakti? So you have to understand properly, and this is called sambandha gyan. So he says you need a foundation of sambandha gyan. You need to have some basic metaphysical knowledge as the foundation of bhakti. It doesn't mean that there has to be such great deep scholarship. But you have to have... Check that light and see if that helps to quiet everything. No. Okay, leave it on. You have to have some bhakti again. I remember once I was at a scholars conference that I organized, and somehow or other, someone gave a seminar. One of the scholars, he's a professor now, he's a devotee. He gave a seminar on the need for theologians in ISKCON. And it was a little bit kind of dismissive. And if people know me, there's a few things that ticked me off. This was one of them. I didn't think it was a fair presentation. I get a little angry, too. Like, what can I do? And so I didn't feel it was, like, right. He had a correct understanding. It was almost like Prabhupada wasn't a theologian. You know, it was coming up, Prabhupada wasn't a theologian. You know, you need to be. But then, it's always nice, but Pradyumna, Prabhupada's Sanskrit scholar, you know, he speaks with such authority. And he said, well, actually speaking, a guru doesn't have to be a theologian. He said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, he doesn't have to be a theologian. He doesn't have to be a great scholar. But he has to have a depth of understanding of sambandha gyan. He really has to understand deeply. He may not quote so many shlokas. He may not know so many references. Of course, a guru needs to have knowledge to clear doubts. But his ability to do that service is not based on his scholarship. He must have some bhakti gyan. And he said the beauty of Srila Prabhupada is that he presented some bhakti gyan so clearly. What is the soul? What is God? What is matter? What is their relationship? So clearly. Some bhakti gyan. But what's so interesting here is, even though, and the discussion will continue, even though you don't have to be a, so he said, oh, okay. Then he thinks, okay, you need knowledge, right? But then he says, well, then how to understand God?